This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of Ron Zedgy Today, live all across the USA and around the world on this last full weekend of the month of August. And on our show this hour will be Sean Levy. And Sean has penned a book about Jerry Lewis. It was 3 years ago, this past August 20th, that Jerry passed away. It doesn't seem that long, but it has been. He was 91 when he passed away. And it's a very enlightening book that I think you'll enjoy hearing about. Then a decorated military man, an author, and part of Fox TV, Pete Hegseth, will be joining us. Fascinating to talk about his book. And then Jeannie Walden will be here talking about changes in the workplace and daily pay, kind of a new concept. And that's all coming up the second hour live with Ron Zedgy Today. We're going to pause momentarily, but we'll be right back with hour number two.
Can the daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables fit into just 6 capsules? Yes! We start by sourcing organically grown whole fruits and vegetables. We ensure they are picked at peak ripeness. All of our produce is third-party tested for pesticides, heavy metals, bad bacteria, and nutrients. They are then washed, cut, and put through an advanced vacuum cold process, which removes the water using pressure. This maximizes the nutritional value while preserving the color, smell, and taste of the fruit or vegetable. The freeze-dried food is then ground into a fine powder without adding any additives, fillers, or extracts. These powdered foods are then mixed in our proprietary blends and encapsulated, locking out air and moisture. The capsules are then bottled and shipped directly to our customers. Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Zedgy Today. And this week on the show, we are going to remember comedian Jerry Lewis. Now, a lot of people love Jerry, and then he had those people that didn't quite like him that much. But we're going to talk about it in this book that is penned by our next guest. And this past August 20th marked the third anniversary of the passing of Jerry Lewis. Joining us right now with the author of King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis is Sean Levy. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It's been 21 years since you wrote this book, has it not?
Yeah, it came out in 1996.
Since then, you've written books about Robert De Niro, The Rat Pack, Paul Newman. I understand now it's available where you can read it online. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah. Strangely, it was not an e-book until last year.
Wow.
It was around the 20th anniversary. The book was written long enough ago that e-books weren't in the contract.
Let's start off by this, okay? You did an enormous amount of research even before you met Jerry Lewis. Now, there is a very surprise ending to this that we'll talk about later. But the book starts out very, very complimentary, talking about what he has accomplished, his impact, entertainment in the world, and then it kind of deteriorates from there. But you did a lot of research, and now you wanted to talk to him personally. How did you make that initial step to meet a man who was very difficult to meet on a good day?
Well, I wrote him a letter, put it in the mail. It was 1993, I believe, when I started working on the book. And I had email, but very few people did. And I got an address for him, and I wrote him a letter. And one day I was on the phone talking to someone, and call waiting. Remember call waiting?
Oh,
came
yeah.
through, and
yeah.
I click on the button, and on the other line is Jerry Lewis. And we started having conversations and a couple of meetings pursuant to that phone call.
Now, was he receptive to your call? Was he receptive to talking to you further about the project? Because he wasn't very receptive to people the first time around because he was always on guard, using him for reasons that he wasn't particularly fond of.
I think he was receptive. I mean, he reached out to me. He could have ignored my letter.
Sure.
And he invited me to meet him, and he made reference materials available. He told people who checked with him that it was okay to talk with me, that I was, you know, a good egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, he was suspicious, on guard, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, you know, I presented it to him as, I am going to write this book, whether you participate or not, but it would be a better book if you participated. So I think at some level he wanted to, you know, have some control in the process.
And this really started off as a very good relationship, going as far as not only being nice to you, but making sure that he was nice to your mother during his concerts. He'd want to talk to her, was proud to talk about the relationship he had with you to your mother, which made her proud. I mean, this started off as a real good chemistry between you and he, which was very unusual for him with another person. But it didn't end up that way, did it?
No. You know, we had two long meetings on his yacht in San Diego. His primary home was Las Vegas, but he kept a large boat in a basin in San Diego, and that's where I visited him. And after the first one, we really were collaborating in a sense. It's difficult to say what he expected of me because I think he was, you know, it was sort of like a poker game, and he had cards and I had cards, and I didn't know him really well at that point. But he, as I say, he was cooperative. He was, you know, he literally mailed things to my home that I could use, you know, Xeroxed materials. He was great. The second meeting was almost the exact opposite. From the time I arrived at the boat, he was edgy. He made insinuations about me. And then after about an hour and a half, I asked a question that lit him up. And suddenly I was sort of, you know, I had in my face a screaming, you know, drill sergeant or, you know, football coach. Frankly, I grew up in New York City. I'm used to a lot of aggression. I'd never seen anything like this, you know, not on screen. And it was incredible because here's this guy, this legend, someone I grew up watching on TV, yelling in my face with a big red face. And I left after that, and we had a couple of other encounters. But I recounted all of this in the epilogue to the book because it seemed only fair. You know, I did so much research, and unfortunately, this was one of those lives where the more you learned, the ickier it got.
Mm-hmm.
And you would come across things that I couldn't say in 1996 when he was alive that I could say now that are really hair-raising behaviors and statements and, you know, major life choices that he made that, for legal reasons we couldn't talk about at the time. And as I learned these things, you know, the book took on a darker and darker tone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was obliged to tell the true story as I discovered it. And unfortunately, the more truth I discovered, the best things about Jerry were kind of well known. His charitable work, his great film career, things of that nature. But the darker side was not really revealed, and I had the kind of mixed blessing of being the guy who revealed a lot of it.
Sean, did you walk away liking the man? Because, well, I have my own feelings about that, and I'll express them. But did you walk away liking him?
You know, I grew to admire him. But I found him unlikable. I found him He was hard on people close to him. I mean, I don't even have to explain my own feelings when after he passed, when his will was filed in probate court in Clark County, Nevada. It was revealed that he disinherited 5 of his 6 children. All of his sons from his first marriage got nothing from his many millions of dollars estate. And I'm a parent, and, you know, I had parents, and you wonder what happens in someone's life and in their heart and mind to make them like that. He's not necessarily the easiest guy to like.
I guess proper to say, or is it accurate to say, that his worst enemy was him? I mean, here's a man who had an unusual relationship with his own father. His father was very domineering and wasn't very complimentary to him. As you mentioned, he disowned 5 sons, and I mean disowned them. I mean, it was unbelievable what you said in their relationship with stuff. He seems to be a very vindictive, mean person, and what I never understood is that with all of the problems that he caused, that he was the cause of in his career, how he still maintained to be a player in the industry with everybody in the right positions knowing that if they hired him, he was going to be a pain in the neck.
Well, you know, we can talk about him being a player in the industry, but after 1970, he only performed in about 5 or 6 theatrical films. That's 47 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So the bulk of his work was done in the first quarter century of his career. And then after that, I mean, he would make appearances, and there were, you know, a handful of films in which he had important roles. King of Comedy, the Martin Scorsese film, a film that was just released last year called Max Rose, in which he plays an elderly widower who learns his late wife's secrets. But, you know, people did stay away from him. I have a quote from someone in the entertainment business who told me that guy has 3 sets of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was difficult. He burned a lot of bridges, and he stopped being a moneymaker.
Yeah.
His style, you know, times changed, and his type of comedy, what he did, was no longer attractive to audiences. And, you know, you can be a pain in the neck to people if you know, you're selling tickets, but when the ticket sales stop and all they have is a pain in the neck who costs them more than he earns them, you're not going to get work. It's a pretty simple formula.
We're going to pause for a second, Sean. Our guest is Sean Levy. The name of his book is King of Comedy. It was written 21 years ago. It's now available, though, online to read. You have to read this, whether you are or are not a Jerry Lewis fan, because it's a fascinating profile of a very complicated entertainer. And the author tells it, warts and all. It's very well written. It's amazing, in fact. And we will be talking more about this legend when we return in just a couple of seconds. As we mentioned in the introduction, August 20th marked the 3rd anniversary of the passing of this comedy legend, Jerry Lewis. And Sean Levy and I will be right back with more with Ron Sedgy today.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world for our second portion of our interview with Sean Levy, whose first book was King of Comedy, which came out about 21 years ago. It's available now on e-books, and we're talking about the life and times of Jerry Lewis. And this past August 20th would have been 3 years since the passing of Jerry Lewis. Sometimes we forget about all the money added up for MDA. Ed McMahon and I were best friends and partners for many, many, many years. I toured with Ed. We did radio shows together. He, like, a member of my family. And when he passed away, the McMahon family asked me to join them at the MDA telethon that year. He died in June. This was in September, because Jerry was going to pay tribute to him. I was so disgusted with his tribute that the family actually walked out. I stayed there because his only tribute was, well, I want to remember my buddy Ed McMahon, who's probably up in heaven drinking or drunk by now. That was it. That same telethon, he brought the poster girl up and said to her, as she sat on his lap with steel on both legs, "Nice gams." And then he, in front of an audience filled with kids, used a four-letter word between the break. I don't understand how he maintained a presence with that kind of arrogance. I really don't, Sean.
Yeah, we're learning more about, how to say this, men of his generation and the behavior that they took for granted is becoming more and more exposed and decried in our culture. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're the funny guy and you can get away with a little bit more, in Jerry there was always this desire to be acknowledged and appreciated and respected and loved, because he felt like he had none of that as a child. And talk to him about it. He was a funny guy. He was a big shot. He did come from a culture where, you know, speaking, you know, coarsely wasn't as penalized as it is today. And he was deeply insecure and thin-skinned. So you put all that together, and you get a guy who behaves as you just described.
Here's the thing that really got me about this. You talk about having friends. If you had a true friend, somewhere along the line, somebody would come up to you and say, "Hey, Jerry, you're not bankable anymore. You better change your attitude, because nobody wants to get near you." And nobody apparently had the guts to do that. I mean, when you're at the top of the mountain, or you are perceived to be at the top of the mountain, because he really wasn't in the last few years, then I think knowing that you have somebody who's going to fly off the handle in a New York heartbeat, they're afraid to do that. The ABC television show, which was done at the El Capitan Theater, which he bought, was a fiasco. It failed. Then NBC, in their infinite wisdom, picked up a show much like the ABC show, not learning any lessons from ABC and Jerry's failing there. I understand perseverance on behalf of the talent, but I don't understand the satellite people around him that kept on giving him these second breaks. I mean, tell the story about his refusal to rehearse with Lynn Redgrave and what he did in the middle of a play on Broadway during intermission by refusing to go back onto the second act when the audience was full.
It was the late 70s, and he, you know, his film career had pretty much evaporated. So he was on Broadway. He Hell's a Poppin', a revival of kind of like vaudeville burlesque, you know, the not the striptease burlesque, but the old-fashioned variety show.
Right.
And someone thought, hey, let's do Hell's a Poppin', which was a popular variety show in the 30s. And they got Jerry and they got Lynn Redgrave. Lynn Redgrave is a proper actress. You know, she comes from a family that's one of the great acting dynasties in the English language. And she had, you know, standards of comportment on the stage and in preparation and rehearsal and things like this. And Jerry would have none of it. And he was openly abusive to her, verbally, physically dismissive, undermining her, you know, cues and things like this. It was a fiasco, and it didn't last very long on stage either, because in the late 1970s, Jerry was just not funny, not in his life, his work. Audiences didn't want to see it.
He made a threat that he wasn't going to go on because of that situation. The MDA Telethon, now he is, of course, reverend for raising all that money. I always used to say that if somebody was hosting that show that the general public really felt close to, like a Johnny Carson, they could probably raise twice as much. He was only recognized in the latter years in France. He had an ongoing feud with Bing Crosby one time because Bing thought he was going to pull a hairpiece off of his head during a appearance in Vegas. He fired Judy Campbell, which of course was Sam Giancana's girlfriend, and he had a radio station that he bought that he had a studio in his home so he could interrupt the talent at any time to, you know, go on and on and on. His drug use, his very outgoing womanizing, embarrassing his wife Patty at every juncture, ignoring his sons, just spoke volumes of the man. Did you happen to see, by any chance, Sean, one of the last interviews he did that was posted on YouTube that was done by probably a very small entertainment show, and how he treated that reporter?
That wasn't a small entertainment show. That was Variety Magazine.
Oh, was it really? Okay, I never...
Yeah.
Jeez, oh man.
He basically cold-shouldered the guy and gave him one-word answers. But I have to say, that was a terrible interview. They did a series of interviews with entertainment people who'd reached their 90s, Betty White, Norman Lear, Jerry among them, Dick Van Dyke. The questions were terrible.
Yes,
questions. The first question was basically like, so you haven't died yet, what's that like? But the other people, you know, those interviews were posted as well, and they found graceful or funny or patient ways to deal with kind of a dumb reporter. The other person could say, you know what, you're an impolite jerk, and there's your standoff.
You know, my wife got a job offer from him one time while she was married to me, and when she told him that I'm Ed McMahon's partner and she works in my company, he reneged on the proposal, which Ed said was probably the best career move you made, Claudia. I mentioned to you in the break that I could talk to you for hours about this. I'm sure somebody's listening to me right now saying, geez, oh man, why would you want to talk about Jerry Lewis? It doesn't seem like you're a fan of his. As a child, my father being Italian, he was mad at Jerry Lewis, and I told this to Dina Martin one time because all he kept doing was interrupting Dean Martin, that nice Italian boy that's saying, that's amore, you know? So he didn't like him from the start. I just didn't understand his talent, and I didn't understand his personal life and how arrogant he was when things were not going well. You know, when things go bad, Sean, you kind of be nice to people, you know? He wasn't. And you bring that out in this book. That ending that you do on the boat is absolutely phenomenal. I didn't expect that. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You didn't see it coming.
I've had it quoted back to me by Steve Martin, Penn Jillette, Harry Shearer. Tom Hanks once told me that he was out to dinner with Martin Short and Paul Reiser, and Marty Short spent the dinner doing an impression of, you know, mature Jerry, not stage, not, hey, lady, not that Jerry, but the telethon Jerry, doing impressions of that Jerry throwing me off the boat all night and had them in stitches. I was at Sundance Film Festival and met Harry Shearer. You know, I said, I interviewed you for my book on Jerry Lewis. And he turns to his wife and says, honey, this is the guy Jerry Lewis threw off the boat.
What a legacy you have, Sean. Very seldom in this entertainment industry do I pursue people to be on the air with me. They kind of come and say, hey, can we be on your show? I pursued you. You tell it like it is about somebody that probably up to the time of his death was afraid to tell it like it is.
Well, thank you so much. And 21 years is true interest in the subject.
Yeah,
so
really.
I appreciate it.
My guest has been Sean Levy. He's penned a book called The King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis. Even though it's 21 years old, it's available on ebook. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump visited areas of Texas and Louisiana hit hard by Hurricane Laura. At the Emergency Operations Center in Orange, Texas, the president held a round table with local officials.
We've worked with the private sector to restore power to remaining 200,000 residents, and they think the power is going to be restored almost in very good order.
Pretty quick.
I believe so.
He said water and meals are being delivered to the region. He also signed a major disaster declaration. Earlier, he toured storm damage in Louisiana. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden gave a virtual address to the National Guard.
I promise you, as president, I'll never put you in the middle of politics or personal vendettas. I'll never use the military as a prop or as a private militia to violate rights of fellow citizens.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA and around the world, you're listening to Ron Sedgie today. Well, our next guest, the co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, he's an author, book back in 2016, a good book too, I might add, In the Arena, and he's a patriot. He served in the United States Army for 12 years, doing tours in Iraq, Guantanamo Bay, Afghanistan, earning 2 bronze stars and a combat infantry's badge, and he's got a brand new book out right now that is fascinating. You got to get this thing, called American Crusade, Our Fight to Stay Free. Joining us right now is Pete Hegseth. Hey, Pete, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm well, Ron. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
I was watching your podcast the other night, and I just couldn't get away. I mean, it is so good, and you hit all the buttons. Let's talk about this new book. It talks about the fact that the election of Donald Trump may have been a sign of national rebirth, but the left demanding globalism, secularism, mm-hmm. socialism, they've gone to all extents to ruin it. It's almost like, you know, you're back in the 1800s in the Civil War.
Yeah, we have some irreconcilable differences right now. These are not your daddy's Democrats.
Right.
These are not patriotic liberals. These are leftists who have taken over the Democrat Party. The only choice is to defeat them. You raised the central question of the book, which is, was 2016 and 2020, if the president can win, is it the last gasp of a nation, of a country who can still win at the ballot box, meaning freedom can still win in the political realm? Or is it actually, is it the last gasp, or is it a recognition that our days are behind us? And effectively, if Trump loses in 2020, we're handing the keys over to leftists who have rejected the premise of our country. Forget Joe Biden. He's the old view. He's the nominee. The new crop of leftists who come from the indoctrination camps of our schools and our universities and our culture reject things like capitalism, like individual freedom, like equal justice, replacing it with identity politics and social justice. They're antithetical to Americanism, which is the premise of the book as well. So we're at one of those moments. And 2020 is the front line.
I worry about 2020, but not as much as 2024, because that's really when you got an opportunity to come in there, because, you know, a lot of times the party doesn't stay in office for that many years. But let's go back for a second to the Democratic Party, okay? I saw a thing on Facebook the other day that had a picture of John Kennedy. He said, what happened to my Democratic Party? We all know that Ronald Reagan said, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, they left me. What is going on? I mean, is there a Democrat who can actually save the party from this new agenda, the AOCs of the world? Because in discussions with friends and, you know, associates, they consider the President Trump being a problem. But they have no alternative. They don't want to say I'm for AOC. They don't want to say I'm for Biden. But they're criticized. They have no solution. What they consider a problem, but they have no solution for it.
Yeah, they're people without a home. The solution they should find is to join the Republican Party or to support the president, get past their agitation with his tweets or his civility or his tone or the way he talks, and look at what he's done. If people do that I think he will be reelected. But your point about John F. Kennedy, I mean, he was a tax-cutting, pro-life, anti-communist. And now we have Green New Deal, abortion-on-demand socialists who ultimately want to find reasons to defend the communist Chinese. Here's my worry about whether the Democrat Party can ever change, is that this is a party of their own making. Politics is downstream from culture and education. It's a lagging indicator. It catches up to where the culture is. And leftists have intentionally focused on higher education and our schools since the 60s. They seed the faculty, they seed the graduate students, then they seed the universities, then they push it all the way down. And effectively, you're teaching kids to not love the very country that they're in, that they're global citizens, not American citizens. Those kids become voters, and they become very demanding that it reflect what they believe, which is what was taught by radicals. And pretty soon, your old school Democrats are looking around and saying, I'm a person without a home because I'm not with with Comrade Cortez, but I don't know where else to go.
A lot of people will hear our talk right now. Of course, you being on Fox News, you know, you're a Republican. We don't get too much into politics, Pete. The fact that this is so obvious, it doesn't make a difference if you're a Republican, Democrat, or an independent.
That's right.
This is so obvious that the Democratic Party, trying to be nonpartisan, they are just ticked off about what happened. And they're even more ticked off about it's going to happen again. It almost feels like the Joe McCarthy era, where they are just absolutely badgering day in and day out till they scare the hell out of everybody in America. Because, like you say in the book, you have to muster and motivate fellow patriots to stand ready to defend. That almost sounds like mustering, like the Civil War.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not calling for a civil war. I'm not calling for violence
right.
at all. But what I am saying is now is the time to stand up and be counted.
Right.
In 2016, you know, a lot of people pulled the lever quietly, hiding their support for President Trump. 4 years later, we know who he is, what he represents. You love him or you hate him, but you know where he stands on the issues, and he's proven it time and time again. If you're a supporter of the president, then you should be just as proud to put on a red MAGA hat as anybody who's proud of putting on an Obama sticker or something for Biden. We live in a free country. Be proud of what you stand for. If they want to call you a racist or a misogynist or whatever, let them call you that. They're just trying to intimidate you, and it shouldn't work. And the more they realize it doesn't work, the less effective they are. And that's why Trump scares them so much, because he doesn't let their criticism back him down. He's taught us how to fight. And I think that clarifies the stakes, and it'll make 2020 so fascinating. It'll tell us a lot about where we are as a country.
Oh, I can't wait. They keep on showing these national polls showing Joe Biden leading Trump in this election. How is that possible? Is it a tactic that the Republicans are using to maybe not show that Trump is way out ahead, and they don't want to have the Republican voters become passive and not say, I don't have to vote, we got this thing snatched? That's the only thing I can come up with, because everywhere you look shows Biden really not up to speed.
Terrible, terrible candidate. I almost feel bad for Democrats, except I don't. You can throw every national poll in the garbage. They don't matter. Our founders ensured that our elections were not natural. We're not a direct democracy. National numbers don't matter. We are a republic. We have an electoral college. You have to win a certain number of states together, and that is part of the absolute brilliance of our founders. They also notoriously oversample Democrats and independents that are lookalikes of Democrats. So you get these types of numbers. They get the numbers they want to see. These same polls said the same thing in November of 2016.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason why all the Russiagate stuff or the Obamagate stuff wasn't going to matter, is because Hillary Clinton, in the minds of everybody, had a 99% chance of winning.
Yep.
So it was all going to be covered up. The swing state polls are the ones that matter, and right now Donald Trump has a strong lead or slightly ahead in all the ones that matter. Run up the score in California. Who cares?
Yep.
What matters is what happens in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Ohio and Michigan and Florida, and I know that's where he's focused.
Let's go back for a second to Donald Trump's considering you for head up the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now,
yep.
Here you are, a decorated veteran. And thank you, by the way, Pete, for your exceptional service to our country.
I appreciate that.
Why would some organizations actually try to block that?
Many organizations. Anybody who takes on the status quo is going to get the heat and the anger and the fury and the hatred of that very status quo. And when I ran Concerned Vets for America, a vets group, we agitated really hard against the status quo thinking of the VA. We put the veteran at the center to say, why don't you let a vet choose? If they want to go to the VA facility, great. But if there's a great private doctor near them and they want to choose that, great. The dollar should follow them. It's common sense to all of us, to everybody else, to the bureaucracy at the VA, to the government unions, and to the veterans groups in Washington who have long since lost their core mission of looking out for vets. Those ideas are super threatening. And so they come out with everything they have to try to trash you and prevent you from getting in a position where you could implement those changes. So, yes, when I was under consideration, it was very, very close up to the last minute. A ton of groups and people came out against me. And in my mind, that was a good sign for me, because it meant you're on the target, not you're going to get along to go along, which is how Washington has worked for so long.
Pete, is there a Democrat that can save their party with this agenda that they have inherited from AOCs of the world? Is there somebody out there that sees the light?
I don't know. I'm not trying to say that to be coy. The problem is the mob of their special interest groups, of their grievance groups, of Planned Parenthood, of the ACLU, is so powerful that it forces people into certain positions, even if they don't agree with them or believe them. There are some middle America Democrats who sound sort of populist tones. They're pro-life. They're pro-Second Amendment. Even then, they're forced to cater to the worst impulses of their national leaders. Plus, if you're pro-Second Amendment and pro-life in the Democrat Party today, you still have no home. I don't see it, and I don't mean that to be dismissive. I mean that to be concerning.
Pete, I liked your book, In the Arena. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do, that President Nixon had a book of the same name.
I didn't find out till I named it, and then I saw it, and I've got nine. So I ordered Richard Nixon's book, In the Arena. It's in my library.
American Crusade, Our Fight to Stay Free, and it's done by our guest from Fox News, Pete Hegseth. And again, I want to thank you for your service to our country, and please come back.
Ron, I appreciate it. I'd love to. Thank you.
Our guest has been Pete Hegseth, and there's more to come live all across the USA and around the world. You are listening to Ron Segi Today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Around the world, you're listening to Ron Segi Today. Well, the new school year has begun in many, many cities across the United States, and students and parents are really facing kind of unique challenges during this crazy pandemic. And joining us right now is an expert at helping companies and employees adapt to new working environments, which is exactly what we are in. She was recently named Transformational Chief Marketing Officer of the Year by the CMO Club, has written several books, and launched five companies during her fantastic career. Joining us right now is Jeannie Walden. Hi, Jeannie. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hi, Ron. Thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you are, because we need you in these troubled times when it comes to the changes in the workplace. But what about the back-to-school challenges that a lot of people are facing that affect the fact that they have to work or be centered at home in their employee or their employer situations?
Oh, absolutely. We know that everything is going to remain crazy for the first half of the school year, especially as we start to get into flu season. So everybody is creating different choices for school. The one thing that is consistent, our kids want to be back in the classroom. They want to be around their friends. They want to be around a sense of focus that they can really enjoy. They want to be around someone other than their parents for a change. They've spent 6 months with them, so it's time for them to get back in the classroom. However, it might not be the safest. So parents and employers are facing the ramifications of that. In some states, it's all online learning. In other states, parents have a choice. And in other states still, it is back in the classroom, and we're going to see how it goes. What that means for employers is flexibility is the name of the game. Being able to support your employee, regardless of what their personal situation is going to be key to remain productive as a business and to keep your employees happy.
See, I'm a firm believer that when you work from home, even prior to this pandemic, it takes an enormous amount of discipline, because it's very easy to say, well, I think I'm going to stop here for a second and have a sandwich and watch a little bit of, Family Feud or something of that nation. How do not only employees get over that hump and saying, I've got to put whatever hours that I'm paid for in creative and productive hours, and how do employers monitor that situation?
That's a great question. And I think early on in the pandemic, employers were in a panic about exactly what you just said. How will my employees be productive, and how can I make sure that they're being productive? And I think they were quite surprised. What we saw in the first half of the pandemic was employees were more productive working from home, because they moved into this kind of obsessive and paranoid state where they were concerned, as everyone was losing their jobs, that if they didn't work harder and work more diligently, potentially their job could be lost, and that would be damaging financially for their entire family. So what we've seen in the last 3 months is that the average remote employer is seeing about 8 hours more productivity from their employees on a weekly basis. It's like the employees have gone from work-life balance to work-life blend, and now work-life burnout, to the point where they're just blurring the lines completely. Employers are actually being challenged to remind people to take a break and to stop working at certain times of the day and let them know it's okay to maintain the positive mental health for their employees. So we're seeing a lot of employers step up to the table with unique benefits and programs, everything from offering on-demand pay so employees can have financial freedom to access their pay when they need it without waiting for payday, to online fitness classes to make sure that the employee's well-being is top of mind. Because you said it, people are walking by the kitchen and they're stopping every single time to get a snack on their way to their next meeting or on their way to get another glass of water. So the employees and employers are really challenged with trying to figure out how to make this productive and successful for both parties for the next 3 to 6 months, and considering that this is more the long run now, and we're probably only halfway through this remote working scenario.
Jeannie, one of the things that I think falls into that category is a double-edged sword, is that when you're working from home, you don't have the everyday interruptions you might have from just other employees. The other side of the coin that is a negative situation is that you also don't have the interaction and creative things by talking to other employees when it comes to the workplace and the work project, not talking about, last night's movie. But you talk about the pay situation. That interests me a lot, because as an employer, I often think that and I haven't adopted this program yet, that if somebody says, I need pay on Tuesday vis-a-vis Friday, that they can do that. I think that's a great feature for employees. How does an employer handle that when it comes to taxes and everything else? How does the bookkeeper for that company handle that when I need the money, the employee should get it?
Yeah, well, if you use a service like DailyPay, the company or the payroll manager doesn't have to change a thing. It's a completely seamless integration, absolutely no cost. The company does business just as normal, and DailyPay takes care of everything behind the scenes so that there are no changes to taxation, there are no changes from regulatory or compliance standards. It really simply just makes the money available to the employee as they need it. And during the pandemic, we've seen that the household has been impacted financially.
Sure.
So oftentimes, companies are realizing, you know, their employee status hasn't changed, but the benefit of that pay is now supporting an entire household in a much stronger way than it had been in the past. So it's a very seamless integration with no change management for a company and no cost. It's kind of a no-brainer right now.
I failed to mention in the introduction, and I apologize for doing that, Jeannie Walden is the Chief Innovation Marketing Officer for DailyPay, and that is relatively a new concept, is it not? I mean, I don't remember that when I was working for someone.
I wish I had it. It's been around since 2015, so relatively new as far as the world goes, not so new in startup land, and we've seen phenomenal increase in usage since the pandemic with incredible companies, you know, everyone from Kroger to McDonald's to Deco, just everybody is running to offer this to their employees because it really does help make a difference. And as I said earlier, the more personalized programs and choices employers can put in front of their employees, the better it is for the mental health of the employee, for the productivity of the company, and for the long-term loyalty of the business, which gives you a chance at making it through these crazy times.
This is a plethora of information that I hope our listeners are going to benefit by. I certainly have, and I invite you to come back, Jeannie, anytime. Jeannie Walden is the Chief Innovation Marketing Officer for DailyPay, and a very well-educated and astute in the business world, especially during these crazy times as we enter the fall of 2020. Jeannie, it's nice having you here. Please come back.
Oh, thank you so much for the invite. I will. I really appreciate it and love your show.
Thank you so much and stay safe.
You too.
Okay, thanks, Jeannie. Bye-bye. Jeannie Walden, wow, a plethora of information. We're going to pause for a second. There's more to come live nationwide and around the world with Ron Segi today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year, with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts or commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $349 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined, I'm a member, my four children are members. Liberty HealthShare saves me $18,000 each year compared to what I was paying for health insurance. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of the community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 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 or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
That's going to put a wrapper on things for the show for this week, also for the month of August, for that matter. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours. Our guests include from KC and the Sunshine Band, KC, Joey Fatone from NSYNC, and now the host of Common Knowledge, former CIA agent John Cypher, actress and singer Mandy Moore, author Sean Levy from Fox TV, and a decorated military veteran, Pete Hegseth, and Jeannie Walden talking about daily pay. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we are going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy Today. Till then, I'm Ron Sedgy, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.